There's a great statement that says, he who frames the debate often wins the debate. And so it is with modern science, where so often those who control the major cultural institutions, including academia and the media and National Geographic Society and so forth, they have bought into the idea of naturalism. And it really, in a very strong way, kind of excludes God from the process. Discovery Institute, discovery.org, has a lot of creative communications to show that, wait a minute, you know, Darwinian evolution is not a proven fact, you know, in the big sense of macroevolution. And we're going to talk about a new series of films that they have on the internet called Science Uprising. One of the guests on that film is Dr. Jay Richards, who co-authored a book a few years ago called The Privileged Planet. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Jay Richards is a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute, and as I say, one of the guests on Science Uprising, a series worth watching. Thank you, Dr. Richards, for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to be with you, Jerry.
Sure. And while we're doing commercials, you're also the publisher of something called The Stream, which is like a Christian version of the Drudge Report, almost.
Exactly. Yeah, except we do sort of original news and commentary, but yeah, I'm the executive editor of Stream.org for listeners that are interested in kind of a Christian take on the news, basically.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Tell us about Science Uprising.
Absolutely. Well, Discovery's been, you know, for 25 years or so supporting research and intelligent design and research that critiques materialistic theories, whether you're talking about Darwinian evolution or the origin of the universe, the origin of life, or the origin of mind. And we've had several really successful documentaries, including some that are on PBS. But what we've noticed is that, first of all, a lot of people get a lot of their information from visual media, that is, from video. And that's frustrating to me, in part because I'm a writer, you know. But the truth of the matter is, especially the younger people are, the more likely they are to get their information from science, I mean, from video. Moreover, long-form video is less popular than the short-form online video. And so the Science Uprising series is really designed to capture that. I mean, we have very specific arguments that we think are absolutely rock solid. But if it's buried in a 400-page book, the people that we want to reach are not gonna get it. And so, you know, young millennials and Generation Z, they will look at Bill Nye the Science Guy as an authority, not because he's a scientist. He's not. He's actually an engineer, but because he wears that white lab coat. And so Science Uprising,
and the bow tie,
videos are really video shorts, like, you know, 3 to 6 minutes, a single argument made visually compelling, kind of edgy and transgressive. It's different from some of the more staid things we've done at Discovery Institute. I mean, Discovery is, after all, a think tank, but a producer actually approached us, a guy named David Arabia, that has done this sort of thing. And done, you know, major work in Hollywood, and said, you know, let's do something a little different. So my colleagues at Discovery Institute, John West and Jonathan Witt, who write and do a lot of this stuff, teamed up with David Arabia and some production team. And so we're just about to start releasing these video shorts online. I'm really excited about it.
Am I allowed to give away, you know, there's sort of this, the title itself, Science Uprising. It's almost as if somebody, I forget what that group is called, maybe Anonymous or something, with that strange the strange mask, and they take over things, and we are Legion or whatever. I don't know, whatever. But they're kind of taking over and saying, wait a minute, you know, the standard party line of what's heard about science, you know, on the airwaves these days isn't necessarily true.
Yeah, that's it's really in that spirit. I mean, there's, as you said, there's Anonymous, and there's this famous, it's really a Guy Fawkes mask, which people in the UK recognize.
Americans that's what that face is. Oh, and but let's stop for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, in the early days of the reign of King James, okay, so in the early 1600s, he started in 1603. So about 1605, there was a plot by some renegade Catholics that thought, okay, let's turn England back to Catholicism. I mean, this is a terrible thing that the way they tried to go about this. So they had a gunpowder plot. They attempted to assassinate the king and the parliament members, blowing up parliament. One day they were discovered, they were caught. Guy Fawkes was the leader of that, and those people were all brutally killed, and you know, just in ways that ought not to ever be this cruel and unusual punishment. But so that mask is a Guy Fawkes mask. I did not know that until you tied that in.
Americans,
that makes sense.
No, in Americans, we don't know who this guy is. You know, I've been in New Zealand, and they'll have a Guy Fawkes Day because not that they're celebrating, you know, these terrible fights between Catholics and Protestants, but he's come to symbolize a sort of
anarchy.
Rebellion character against whatever the kind of status quo is.
I see.
You see it a lot on the left is, oh, we're not going to listen to the, you know, they think the media is right wing. They're so far to the left. But that's really kind of the spirit, is that, look, when it comes to science, we're just given this standard take. If you watch PBS or you read National Geographic, they just take for granted this completely materialistic account of nature and of reality, all the way down to saying that there isn't even such thing as a human mind. I mean, that's how crazy it gets, Jerry. And so that's sort of the spirit of this, is that, look, you know, teenagers might feel a little rebellious. Well, here's something that's worth rebelling against, which is this orthodoxy of materialism, which we just get crammed down our throats, whether it's in public schools or public television. And that's what these videos are designed to do, to sort of puncture little holes in that, little Guy Fawkes mask. And that's exactly and you'll get that when you see the videos. These are not PBS documentaries. They have a different feel than that.
And we should add that the Guy Fawkes mask in this case is kind of a monkey tinge to it, in a sense.
You got
a monkey, Guy Fawkes, and the Anonymous all rolled into one.
All
and that's,
rolled into
yeah.
one, yes. That's right. You're looking at a simian Guy Fawkes mask.
Oh, okay. So now the idea that you're trying to puncture is that if you take naturalistic evolution and its implications to the nth degree, then life is meaningless. That means all human life is meaningless. Then, you know, we're back to that old question. I forget which one of the French existentialists said that the ultimate question in life is, should we or should we not commit suicide? You know, because if life is meaningless, then why not? And life is not meaningless because there is a God. But anyway, is there such a thing as love? Well, no, love is just the secretion of bile, you know, in the liver or whatever, you know, wherever bile is secreted in the human body. I'm not a scientist and I don't play one on TV. What was your particular area, since I know you, again, co-wrote that landmark book called The Privileged Planet, which... for those not familiar with it, tell us about that and how did you fit into the series?
Absolutely. Yeah, I co-authored it actually with astronomer Guillermo Gonzalez, and we're going to do a 20-year anniversary edition actually coming up in 2024. But
congratulations.
Really, all of the things that have to go just right in order to get a single habitable planet in the universe. But we give a bunch of evidence that it turns out these rare places like the Earth where you can have observers or you can have science and scientists are also the best places for observing. So the universe looks like it's not just fine-tuned, it's not just designed for life, but it's designed for scientific discovery. And so we have one of the Science Uprising episodes is about that fine-tuning question. You know, what do you need to get right in physics and astronomy for life to exist? But I also write, Jerry, on artificial intelligence and robotics and things like that, and actually spent a lot more time in recent years on that. And we have an episode on that, actually, that's going to be released June 10th, on the mind, because, you know, the very existence of the human mind, of consciousness, of our awareness of ourselves, our ability as beings to actually change things in the material universe, that alone, believe it or not, directly contradicts the materialistic worldview. So in other words, the fact that you exist as a free person who can affect the material universe, materialists don't have a way of accounting for that. And so they essentially have to explain away consciousness and thoughts and even your own awareness of yourself. But that's how crazy materialism is. And so in one of these episodes, we take on the myth as applied to the mind.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. The atheists like Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and so forth, they like to harp on the idea, well, if there really is a God, then he can't be good because we see the evil that takes place in the world. But this is all based on assumptions, including assumptions that there is such a thing as right and wrong. But ultimately, if there is no God, there is no such thing as right and wrong, and that's just another one of those major issues that you know, we're left holding, you know, that we're left without if naturalistic evolution, you know, is true.
Yeah, I mean, I say, look, atheists know just as well as we do that murder is wrong. The question is, what is a moral truth for a materialist or an atheist? I mean, it doesn't make sense. You're just talking about blind atoms colliding with atoms, you know, for eternity. A moral truth is just a very strange thing. Even though, you know, atheists know murder is wrong as well as we do, they don't have a way of accounting for it. So the fact that you don't have a worldview that can account for things like human minds, human persons, the moral truths that we all take for granted, there's something seriously wrong with your worldview. But that's what materialism is. It insists on all these things very counterintuitively. And it's time for us to go on the offense on this. This worldview just doesn't explain what it claims to.
How about even just the idea of freedom and the idea to have freedom of expression of thought? If you had been a scientist, let's say, in the Soviet Union, you know, during the heyday of the Soviet Union, under Stalin, under Khrushchev, you wouldn't have been able to publish a book like The Privileged Planet with Guillermo Gonzalez. You would have been sent to the gulag for, you know, questioning, you know, atheism.
That's right. And, of course, freedom is, again, another one of these paradoxes for the materialists. This is why most of them end up being hardcore determinists. They just think, as the late Bertrand Russell, the atheist philosopher, said, that you might want to hold somebody responsible, but the reality is that what they do is really the result of all these antecedent causes that go all the way back beyond when they were even born. In other words, some ancient collision of a planet and a moon and some thing that happened in physics eventually determines everything about you, so that even freedom itself is an illusion. You know, this is one of the other things that the materialist just has a very limited toolkit when it comes to explaining things, and we think it succeeds culturally only because it's sort of occupied the commanding heights of culture, and it's honestly ripe for a puncturing.
Determinism, what do you mean by that? What does that exactly mean?
Determinism in this sense is just the idea of physical determinism, that the laws of physics and chemistry, so the kinds of things that happen, you know, in chemistry, that those determine everything about you. So your thoughts, your decisions, you might think you're deciding to become a punctual person or not to lie, but really, in fact, it just has to do with some kind of chemical state of your brain, which is itself just determined by the laws of chemistry. That's the type of determinism I'm talking about here. And that's why, you know, if you look at consistent materialists, they almost always say, well, everything's ultimately determined by the laws of physics.
Yeah, so that's kind of like, you remember 40 years ago or whatever, there was a terrible murder in San Francisco, and the lawyer pulled out what was called the Twinkie defense. Hey, my client couldn't help it. He ate too much sugar in his Twinkies, and that's what caused him to pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's, in fact, there was an earlier trial by the Clarence Darrow, a famous lawyer,
yes,
in which he tried to defend these two murderers, and it was basically the Darwinian defense, that, well, really, they're just kind of glorified apes, and they didn't really know what they're doing.
Now, you talking about Leopold and Loeb? Was that Leopold and Loeb?
Leopold and Loeb.
Oh, my goodness,
exactly.
From Chicago, Bobby Frank's murder. Yeah, that's 1924. That's an amazing thing.
Exactly. So that's been, you know, so I think he's the first one that tried to sort of not guilty by reason of Darwinian evolution, Your Honor. It didn't work, but still, that's consistent Darwinism, you know, and that's where the logic leads, even though most people, you know, they sort of resist before you get all the way up to the crazy logical conclusion. But that's where materialism ultimately leads you.
So the film series Science Uprising, and by the way, it's going to be released in different increments, but once an episode is released, it'll stay available, correct, at discovery.org?
That's exactly right. You can find it. You'll be able to find it at the Discovery website, so I'd encourage listeners. It's going to be released basically every few days starting in June. So just check back to the Discovery website at discovery.org every couple of days if you want to see the whole series.
Yeah, and again, if Darwinian evolution was correct, then really why can we say we experience joy, love, meaning, freedom, right and wrong? It's an amazing thing. Jay, you guys have done a wonderful job. I love this series. Dr. Jay Richards of Discovery Center, discovery.org. Look for the series, Science Uprising. Jay, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.